Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Hey guys, grab your copy of God's Word. Go with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I wonder this morning, has anybody ever told you, dude, you got rhythm? And some of you are like, no one has ever told me that. In fact, they told me I had two left feet, right? But here's the deal, where the truth of the matter is, rhythm is in you, rhythm is all around you. It was here when you drove your car this morning, as you came in, inside that engine of your car, there was this rhythm of explosions that were happening in the engine block there as each spark plug ignited the air and gas to push those pistons up and down and to turn that crankshaft, and it went in a rhythm. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I came in a V8, right? You know, something like that, but much, much faster. But it was happening. There was a rhythm to it. Nevertheless, right now in your chest, there with your heart, there's a rhythm there that's beating. It's pumping blood throughout your body. Lub-dub, 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 lub-dub. And I'm sure Gene Harston's going to correct me. Say, man, that was a sick heart. I don't know what you're doing there. But nevertheless, lub-dub, lub-dub, lub-dub. Here just a moment ago, guys, we experienced rhythm when we sang songs, right? Yes, I will bless you high in the lowest valley, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. You know, there's that rhythm right there again. And for those of you who can dance, you've got rhythm, baby. Whether it's the Renegade or the Floss or the Running Man, or let's get old school, let's go to the Cabbage Patch, maybe the Twist, the Texas Two-Step. I mean, there's a rhythm to it all. Think about the waltz for a moment. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Rhythm is all around you. I wonder this morning, as we wrap up our series on Gospel to Every Home, I wonder if you realize that according to the Bible, there's a rhythm to evangelism as well. It's something like this: scatter, sleep, reap. Scatter, sleep, reap. Scatter, sleep, reap. That's the rhythm of evangelism. You might be thinking, well, preacher, where in the world did you get that? Well, I got them straight from the mouth of Jesus right here in Mark chapter 4 as he relates a parable to us. And so I want to invite you this morning to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. What you read here in the Word of God is absolute truth. There is no error in the Bible. It is inerrant, infallible, authoritative, and you can trust it, and you should do what it says do, because what it says, God says. Here's what the Word of God says here in the 26th verse, Mark chapter 4, down to the 29th. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and arises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe at once, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Would you pray with me? Father, as we read your word today, we want to see in it, God, that rhythm. And we want to be in that rhythm, Lord. Scatter, sleep, reap. Scatter, sleep, reap. Help us to hear that and to get in tune with that, Lord. Father, I pray for us as evangelists, but God, I also pray for those that need to be evangelized. I want to pray this morning for the man, woman, boy, or girl who has never turned and trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. We know for sure, based upon the authority of your word, the wages of sin is death, and that death is not just a physical death here on earth, but it's a spiritual and physical death in hell forevermore. And so God, they face some really bad news. But God, I pray this morning that through the preaching of your word, through the gathered testimony and witness of this congregation, and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that today would be the day that they would see themselves as sinners in need of a Savior, and they would turn to Jesus and be saved. God, would you do that in our midst? Would you work in our midst? God, help us to be evangelizers and help those who need evangelism to trust in Jesus today and be saved. It's in Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, well, amen and amen. So go ahead and grab your seat there. So scatter, sleep, reap. Scatter, sleep, reap. Here is today's takeaway, just really simple. I want to encourage you today to get into the rhythm of evangelism. That's today's takeaway. Get into the rhythm of evangelism. Our life, every one of us who's a Christian, young or old, should have this rhythm to it, right? Scatter, sleep, reap. Scatter, sleep, reap. Scatter, sleep, reap. So we're gonna look at each part of this rhythm of evangelism this morning to help us. And the first part of that is to scatter the gospel seed. Look at verse 26. Verse 26 right there. The kingdom of God, it says, is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Now, seed sowing, that's one of Jesus' favorite metaphors. He's ministering in an agrarian society, a farming society. And so they were, it's what they saw, it's what they did, it's what they knew. They knew what it was to take seed and to plant crops and to scatter it and do all those things there. In fact, Jesus, if you think about how many of his parables had to do with this, I mean, he gave us entire parables talking about sowing seed, like Matthew 13, Luke 8, all about sowing seed in four different soils. You're probably really familiar with that parable. But in that parable, Jesus tells us that the seed being sown is the word of the kingdom. In other words, the seed is the word that is announcing the kingdom. In other words, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what you and I are to scatter about. You see, that's exactly, guys, what we've done. For those of us who have engaged in this gospel at every home thing over the last week or so, that's what we've done. We have scattered seed. Just this past weekend here at South Campus, we reached out to nearly 1,000 homes here in Alverton with gospel gift bags. Nobody got bit by a dog. Nobody got shot. It was great. I mean, it's so good, right? You always set the bar really low. No, actually, here's the reports I got back. People were very kind. They were very thankful. We had one woman, Ivan and I, went and knocked on a door on Old Scottsville Road, and she said, "I can't believe you came back all the way to my house." And I'm telling you, we had to drive back a drive. I thought, we'll never find this house. I mean, it was like a mile or two off the road there. But people, guys, are hungry for this. They're looking for this. Now, yeah, we had a few who said, "No, thank you." But by and large, the vast majority were glad that we came. And along with our 1,000, our East Campus reached nearly another 1,800 homes. Guys, so we scattered the gospel seed all over our community. Now, I want to be clear this morning. What is the gospel? Because we want to sow the right seed, right? We want to see people saved. Therefore, we got to sow seeds unto salvation. If we sow something else, we will actually see nobody saved. Maybe they think they're saved, but there will be no actual salvation if they don't actually hear and receive the gospel. It's just like in my garden. If I want corn to grow, then I got to be sure that I'm sowing corn, that I'm planting corn. Otherwise, I might end up harvesting cucumbers, right? If I plant the wrong seed. And so we have to scatter the right seed, which is the gospel seed. What is the gospel? And you need to understand this morning. The gospel is not your testimony. And I know that's the easy thing to share with people. It's really easy to share your story. Now, let me say, your testimony is a powerful witness to the gospel, right? Your story of how you came from death to life, how Jesus has made a difference in your life, that is powerful to witness to the gospel, but it's not the gospel. The gospel itself, we can kind of sum it up in four propositions. And as you think about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, these are the things that I think you should keep in mind, all right? It's got the good news and the bad news. And you got the bad news first, followed by the good news, because it's the bad news, understanding that when we share that, that the good news actually makes sense. So here's the fully orbed gospel that we should be sharing in just four truths. The first truth that we need to share with people is that God made you for relationship with him. God is everybody's creator, and he longs to have a relationship with you. But here's the second truth, and here's where the bad news comes in. Your sin, my sin, has separated us from God, broken that relationship, and has earned us death on earth and death in hell forevermore. Now, that is bad news. And that's the part that's hard for us to share sometimes. But let me tell you guys, if you are motivated by love, if you're motivated by truth, if you really want to share the gospel, then you share all of the gospel, because they need to understand why it's so important that Jesus lived, died, and rose again. Otherwise, they have no context. So you got to share this part too, that Jesus, or that our sin has separated us from God, broken that relationship, and has earned us death on earth and death in hell forevermore. But now the good news. Here's the third truth that you need to share when you share the gospel, is that Jesus came to save you from your sins and the penalty of your sins, to change your destination from hell to heaven by living the life that you can't live and dying the death that you deserve on the cross, and 3 days later rising again from the dead to prove that there is salvation in the name of Jesus. And here's the final thing. You've told him all the truths, right? God made you for a relationship, but your sin has broken that relationship and has earned you death and hell. The third truth, Jesus came to live and die in your place and rose again from the dead to prove to you that there is salvation in the name of Jesus. And here's the fourth thing. Here's where it gets real. Here's where the rubber meets the road. And here's the fourth thing you need to share with them. Every person who'll turn from sin and trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus will be saved from death and hell. Beloved, that is the gospel. Listen, I bet someone here needed to hear that this morning, right? That you can be saved from your sin if you'll turn and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what was in those gospel gift bags, right? In various forms. Not many of us who went out got to actually verbally share those truths, right? Just the context and our approach was a bit different. We were mainly pointing people to the truths in the bags and let the bags do the work, so to speak, of evangelizing. But we had the Jesus DVD in there where they could hear the truth of the life of Jesus. And we had a gospel postcard that had a very easy to follow outline that it fully explained the gospel. And then also in those gift bags was a really detailed gospel tract that went over all of these things. So guys, we sowed gospel seeds everywhere. But here's the deal. This is not just a one-time thing here. We're talking about a lifestyle here, right? I'm calling you as a Christian to get into the rhythm. Scatter, sleep, reap. Scatter, sleep, reap. This is who you are. Just like 3 Sundays ago on the 11th, or ever how many Sundays, 4 Sundays ago now, we talked about being fishers of men. That's just who you are. If you're a Christian, you're a fisher of men. And I say to you this morning, if you are a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus. That means that you're in rhythm, you're in step with Jesus. And so we aim to scatter, sleep, reap. Scatter, sleep, reap. We sow this gospel seed because it'll bring about a gospel harvest. So we're going to scatter that seed. That brings us to the second part of our rhythm this morning. Scatter, sleep, reap. Scatter, sleep, reap. And that is sleep while God works. Like, this is so antithetical to everything we ever hear, right? It's like, what? You mean I don't have to do it all? Look at verse 26 through 28. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear." Right there in verse 27, y'all, should be two of the sweetest words to your evangelistic heart. He sleeps. The farmer sleeps. And while he sleeps, guess what's happening? God is taking that seed and turning it into a crop. And then that crop into a harvest. He sleeps. You know what that means for our evangelism? It means that our evangelism is not completely dependent upon us. It's not. It's not dependent upon you alone. I mean, how could you sleep at night if it was all dependent upon you? I mean, how could you have to be the most hard-hearted person in the world if there was another person to be saved and you could go out there? How could you ever sleep if it depended solely upon you? But because it's dependent upon God as well, you can sleep. You get to do what you can do. Scatter and reap. but you let God do what only He can do. And so we sleep while God works. I mean, the truth of the matter is, y'all, you can't convert anybody. Salvation is of the Lord, right? It's a sovereign act of grace. Just like that farmer, he can't will that corn to grow. It's God who does that. Corn growing is a sovereign act of God. I mean, could you imagine a farmer out there 24/7? I mean, just never going in, always working the crop. I mean, he would kill himself. Instead, he works and scatters, cultivates and fertilizes, and then he goes to bed. And in the morning, there's growth. And he doesn't really know how, especially back in Jesus' day with farmers there. They didn't really know how. And to be honest, even today, even though we've got farmers with PhDs and we can explain the processes and all these things, we still can't explain life itself. So guys, we need to learn to give God room to work. We need to sleep on what we've sown. That doesn't mean, guys, that we don't do any follow-up or that we don't work to cultivate and all the things that we do like a farmer does. I mean, he doesn't just plant it and sleep and never work it again, does he? No, he continues to work it. But we've got to give God room to work. We have to ask God to work. And that's what we're going to do here in just a little while. We're going to ask God to work. We ask God to give the growth. If you remember the Apostle Paul, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the growth? God. And that's what we're asking for here, is that God would do what only He can do. Only God can change a sinner's heart. We're the messenger. God is the Savior. And so we rest, we sleep, we scatter, sleep, reap. Scatter, sleep, reap. And so that brings us to our third and our final part of the rhythm of evangelism, and it is simply this, is that we reap the gospel harvest. We do, we reap. We scatter and we reap, and of course we sleep in the middle, but we reap when the harvest comes. Look at verse 29. But when the grain is ripe, this is what the kingdom of God is like. When the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. You don't leave the harvest in the field. I mean, could you imagine for a moment the farmer who's planted soybeans or corn or tobacco or whatever it is, and he does all the work, weeds it, cultivates it, fertilizes it. I mean, and you look out there in that field, and it's a beautiful crop. I mean, ears of corn that big and bushy soybeans and all those things and big leaves of tobacco, whatever it is the farmer grows. Could you imagine when it comes to harvest time, if he just ignores that and leaves it in the field? You're going, what's he doing? What's wrong with this guy? Has he lost his mind? That would be unimaginable. Guys, in the same way, when it comes to reaping souls, we don't leave the harvest in the field. And you've got to understand this morning, the harvest is all around us. Everywhere you look, the harvest is ready. Jesus said this in John 4, 35 through 38. He said, do you not see? There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others labored, and you have entered into their labors. Jesus said, told his disciples, look up, guys, the fields. He wasn't even talking about the crops. He was talking about the people. They are ready. They are ripe for the harvest. Now, I want to say this to you. If they were that ready and that ripe in Jesus' day, how much more so in these latter days? In these latter days, I promise you guys, the people out here are hungry, they're starving, they're ready, they desire for you to just open your mouth, share the good news with them, and then when the time is ripe, to reap that harvest. all around Bowling Green. The Bowling Green region is white for the harvest. It's ripe. It's ready. Therefore, guys, we must be faithful to scatter, sleep, reap. Scatter, sleep, reap. Scatter, sleep, reap. God put something on my heart about a year ago. And it's something that, you know, I was just waiting for the right time, the right moment for us. And I believe that moment is here. You see, God has called us to share the gospel, but he's especially gifted people, certain people, particular people in this congregation, to be evangelists. And some of you say, I don't know if I have the gift of evangelism, but I want to do the work of an evangelist. I want to just say this morning that I'm praying and putting together a team. We're going to call it Fellowship in Sharing Hope. We're going to go fish, right? Fellowship in Sharing Hope. I'm looking for men and women who will dedicate themselves to intentionally and actively sharing the gospel as a group in various ways, creative ways, traditional ways, all sorts of ways that we might share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that people might be saved. Fellowship in Sharing Hope. Now, here's the deal. We can say all day long, and it used to work. Hey, y'all come over to the church and hear the gospel. Right, well, I mean, we could have a gospel meeting, we could have a revival service, all these things, and the community would flock to us. That day's gone. But guess what? The Bible's not left us without a word here. The Bible says for us to go to them, to go to the highways and the hedges and the byways and beg them to come in that they might be saved. And so, guys, I just want to announce this morning, over the course of the fall, you're going to hear more about this, and you're going to hear about opportunities, and I'm looking for people to commit to fish with me. Fellowship in Sharing Hope. I can't wait to see what God is going to do with this, all right? So we got to get into the rhythm of evangelism. Now, in closing today, I want you to understand why this rhythm is so important, okay? So I just want to just hit you with three reasons here real quickly why this rhythm is so important. The first reason is that this rhythm helps us to refuse man-made tactics to get quote-unquote results. You see, we tend to be so results-driven in the church that, particularly when it comes to evangelism, that we're often tempted to try to improve on the gospel or try to innovate on what God has told us to do. And so we're prone to become more pragmatist than biblicists. We're prone to produce and promote extra biblical practices that give us outward results, the ones that we're looking for, right? We want to see people walking the aisles and praying prayers and getting in the baptismal waters and joining the church. But here's the deal, guys. If we're not careful, we can manipulate people into a false result. We can psychologize people into doing whatever we want them to do by relying on evidentiary tactics or emotional tactics, high pressure tactics, follow the crowd tactics, lower the bar tactics. I mean, there are all sorts of things that we could do there. But here's what I want you to understand this morning. If we are scattering gospel seed, we will not try to improve the gospel. It can't be improved on, amen? You can't beat it. The Bible says that the gospel, Romans 1:16, is the power unto salvation. Why would we change it? Why would we water it down? No, no, no. You got to understand, it's not about quote-unquote results. It's about faithfulness. Guys, and sometimes you're going to be in a aroma to life. You're going to come in and share Jesus, and they're going to smell you, and they're going to say, oh, you smell awesome. I want this Jesus. And other times you're going to come in and they're going to say, oh, dude, you reek. I want nothing to do with this Jesus. But guess what? You're being faithful either way. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 2:14 through 17 says. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, check this out, a fragrance from death to death, and to the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who's sufficient for these things? We're not, like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Our job is not to get results, but to be faithful. To be faithful. That's our job. And when we get in this rhythm here, this rhythm of scatter, sleep, reap, it helps us to refuse these man-made tactics. The second thing that it helps us to do is to rest in God's sovereignty. Listen, we will work hard. Those of you who went out this past weekend, you know, man, you worked hard. Some of you worked harder than others. Some of you had a subdivision. Some of you had like Ben Thomas Road. I mean, it's like, you know, a house every mile. You know, you had to get in your car and drive and do all those things. Some of us worked harder than others, but we all worked hard. And those of you who have shared the gospel before, you know that gospel sharing is not easy. But don't forget what we just learned here in this parable. We scatter and we reap. But we also sleep. That means that we rest because God is the one who saves. Listen to what it says in John chapter 3. And we're going to skip down to verse 7. Actually, let's look here at verse 3, reading down. John 3:3, reading down. Jesus answered Nicodemus here. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Think about even this metaphor here of being born, right? I mean, that baby has nothing to do with it, right? It's of the parents here. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter in a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And then he says this, verse 8, and this is where we just learn to sleep and rest in God's sovereignty. Here's what he says, verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Spirit is moving, the Spirit is working, and doing what only God can do. We get to see the effects, but we rest in God who is blowing where he wills to blow. And then we have this passage in John 6. 37 through 40, as we go out and we share the gospel, here's what Jesus tells us as we rest in God's sovereignty, in God's grace. Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. So we're given, and then we will come to him. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he's given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day. This rhythm helps us to rest in God. But thirdly, and here's the best part, it helps us to rejoice in God. Our praise is reserved for God. Glory to God alone. We rejoice in God who saves sinners. Again, we don't save anybody. God saves sinners. Therefore, we rejoice in him when another sinner is saved. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 and 31, and we'll finish up right here with this text. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it's written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Every time a sinner is saved, if we will get in this pattern, this rhythm of scatter, sleep, and reap, we recognize really early on that all glory goes to God, and then your heart is free not to boast in yourself as a great evangelist, but to rejoice in God, who is a giver of grace and as a savior of sinners. So, beloved, I call you this morning to get into the rhythm of evangelism. Scatter, sleep, reap. Scatter, sleep, reap. Here's my final prayer as the praise team comes. May we do this. May we scatter, sleep, and reap until the kingdom is filled.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and He stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that He is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what He has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow Him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.